50 years ago today, the guns fell silent on the Korean Peninsula. Representatives of the United Nations, North Korea, and China signed an armistice that brought about a ceasefire in what technically remains a war with North Korea. No peace treaty has ever been reached to formally end hostilities. Tens of thousands of American and South Korean troops are still stationed opposite North Korea's army along the 38th parallel, and relations with Pyongyang remain among the most strained in the world. Victor Cha is a professor in the Department of Government at Georgetown University and co-author of the forthcoming book, Nuclear North Korea, a debate on engagement strategies, and he joins us today from Seoul. Mr. Cha, welcome.
Thank you.
How have North Korea and South Korea each marked today's anniversary? Are there celebrations?
Well, certainly in the South, there have been celebrations that have been going on, not just today, but really the entire week. A lot of veterans of the Korean War from different countries that were involved in the war in 1950 are here participating in all sorts of ceremonies, meeting with the different officials from the South Korean government. It's been quite a series of events here. In the North, I think what we know of the celebrations have largely been ones that have tended to be more hyped propaganda in terms of hostile attitudes towards the United States. And that's always been a part of North Korean propaganda, but they ratchet that sort of thing up whenever we have events like this that remember the war.
In the past 50 years, there's been constant tension, but only rare flare-ups of the fighting along the 38th parallel. Do you think there have been lost opportunities to reach a final peace treaty?
Well, there certainly have been opportunities, and we saw them at various times during the Cold War and then after the Cold War, you know, during the détente period in the 1972 to 74 period. There were some other attempts at negotiations in the mid-1980s, and then again, of course, the June 2000 summit. But I don't know I would say that they were lost opportunities. There were certainly opportunities that were taken by both sides, the North largely for tactical reasons. But whether the North has really been committed to a sort of peaceful resolution, I think it's always been suspect, and for that reason, some of the positive efforts that we saw over the past few years have, I think, largely been tactical more than representing a fundamental change in North Korea. So there certainly have been opportunities. Whether they've been lost opportunities would really depend on both sides wanting to seek a peaceful solution, and I'm not always certain that that's clear.
In the past year, tension has really steadily increased between Pyongyang and Washington. Do you see encouraging or maybe discouraging signs for decreasing that tension?
Well, I think there have been encouraging signs. I mean, they're encouraging signs in the sense that although tensions have risen over the North's nuclear weapons programs, over the past few weeks, not the past few months, things have been fairly quiet. The North Koreans have not been taking very provocative actions since actions they took in the spring. So in that sense, I guess that's encouraging. The other encouraging sign is that there looks to be another round of talks that will take place among the United States, North Korea, and China, following on from the talks that were started in Beijing in April. And that's a positive sign as well. So I guess in that sense it's encouraging, but I don't think that anybody who follows the peninsula closely looks at this confrontation between the United States and North Korea through rose-colored glasses. I mean, this is a very serious problem that could easily move to a crisis as it did in 1994.
Since the war, South Korea has been seen almost as a client of the United States, but the Seoul government has been trying, at least in the past year, to separate itself from Washington. How do you think Seoul is walking the line between Washington and its desire to improve relations with the North?
Well, I think from the North Korean perspective and from their propaganda, they refer to the South Koreans as client state of the United States. But I think for most of the rest of the world, what they view is an alliance relationship between the United States and South Korea, just like the United States has alliance relationships around the world with Japan, Australia, Germany, and other countries. And arguably, the U.S.-South Korean alliance relationship, rather than simply being a client relationship, is a relationship that really marked a real success story of the Cold War. I mean, Korea went from a backward agrarian society after the North Koreans were repelled and the armistice was signed in 1953, you know, into one of the most vibrant democracies in Asia and the 11th largest economy in the world, the third largest economy in Asia. That is a real success story. I think what the South Koreans need to do in the future is that, you know, they are certainly looking to have a bit of a more independent defense from the United States. And some of the changes that the United States is seeking to implement in terms of restructuring the alliance relationship and restructuring U.S. forces on the Korean Peninsula will certainly give the South Koreans the opportunity to have a more independent defense capability as well as a more independent foreign policy.
Victor Cha is a professor of government and international relations at Georgetown University. His forthcoming book, Nuclear North Korea, A Debate on Engagement Strategies, is due in October from Columbia University Press. Mr. Cha, thank you very much.
My pleasure.